You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
And we welcome you into a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, off and running live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you for the next 4 hours. Big show today. We're going to really be all over the place today. Some Titans conversation, some Vols college football conversation. We've got a little Preds to get to, maybe a little Major League Baseball. So some good stuff today for the next 4 hours. Floyd Reese will join us in his typical spot, as well as our buddy Chris Mason makes his return to Morning Drive coming up in the final hour of the show today. Boys, happy Tuesday, as the kiddies would say. What to do?
So it's October.
You like that, Mace? I knew you did. I saw your face. Sorry.
Yeah, D can't even say anything.
No. He's like, damn, Nick's white.
I'll just say hello, good morning, and welcome to the hottest October in the history of your life in Nashville. Yesterday, 96 degrees, set a record for September 30th, hottest it's ever been this late in the year. Don't worry, folks, we're going to break that record today.
98?
Going to be 97, could be 98, probably break it again tomorrow. No big deal. No, it's no big deal. No, it's not a big deal. Nothing to get upset about or worried about. Just 97 degrees in October.
I had this thought yesterday. I go out around 3:30, grab my trash cans, take them up to the front of the driveway because the garbage men come around 5 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and I'm looking at all these leaves in my yard, and I'm like, all right, grass is dying, leaves are falling, you know, it's starting to look like fall, the fall foliage, and it feels like Tucson, Arizona outside.
Yeah,
it's outrageous,
dude. I've already raked my yard twice. With leaves. And generally, this is when the grass is supposed to get healthier in Tennessee. That's the difference between the North and the South there, Nick. The grass gets all beaten up in July and August, and then you do your overseeding right there. You do your overseeding in October. Yeah, but you can't overseed in 96-degree temperatures. All the little seeds are just going to die.
Exactly.
97 degrees on October 1?
Personally, I was a fan of 98 degrees, but that was in the late 90s and the boy bands were taking over and frosted tips were a thing.
Is that Nick Lachey?
It was.
Oh, my goodness.
Then he married Jessica Simpson and his life went to hell.
So what's the lesson there?
Yeah, don't marry Jessica Simpson.
Don't marry celebrity women.
Don't marry?
Well, he married another one, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. A celebrity or just another woman?
Nick Lachey update?
Yeah. I'll get you guys a Nick Lachey upgrade. Give me 1 second.
Senior Nick Lachey correspondent, Marquise Munson.
Boy band analyst, Marquise Munson, live for you.
I don't know. I thought his life was pretty cool. They had a show that ran for a couple of years.
He's one of those guys that if he did it right, if he did it right and kept his was smart with his money, he made all he needed to in like an 8-year, 10-year period of time, right?
Yeah.
Like being an NFL player, right?
She had the famous line. I didn't know it was chicken in the seed. Wasn't that the line? About chicken in the sea.
Are buffalo wings from Buffalo?
She said something about chicken in the sea.
So you used to watch the Newlywed Show with Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. I did too.
You both watched the same episode of the Newlywed Show back in 2002 or something?
That was a big episode because people were like, how dumb can she be? And people were trying to figure out whether it was just a part of, you know, this shtick she was doing to make it funny, or did she really believe that?
What was the movie she was in? Was it an Adam Sandler movie?
Mm-hmm.
where she's in like jean shorts and like
that was a remake of Dukes of Hazzard, wasn't it?
Dukes of Hazzard.
That was with Johnny Knoxville.
Yep, great Dukes movie, phenomenal movie.
It was Vanessa Manillo. She used to host TRL.
Yeah,
that's who he's married to.
Thanks
now.
For that update.
But you know, she was in Dukes of Hazzard, and everybody, come on, everybody, we know why we like the movie. Goodness gracious!
These boots are made for walking.
And that's just what they
do. I didn't say she gave a good performance.
Oh, yeah. She does. She does in my world.
I watched it because of Boss Hogg. Okay,
not Taylor Lewan.
Not Taylor Lewan. Boss Hogg and exactly. Little Dog.
I see a lot of Chicken of the Sea.
Yeah, she thought.
But I can't figure out exactly what the quote
is. Oh, tuna. She said. Yeah, tuna of the sea. She said something about no.
She said tuna chicken.
Of the sea.
No, she said, because you know the slogan is something chicken of the sea.
Yeah, that's and the she, brand of yeah. tuna.
And she said, I didn't know chicken was in. She said something that everybody, the whole collective world stopped.
I'm researching.
Like,
I'm
are you serious? Did you just really seriously say that on national television? And people were trying to figure out, was it done on purpose?
This is obviously according to Fuse here, a reliable source.
Fuse.
It's a good drink.
Yeah.
She confused chicken for tuna in the debut of the MTV show The Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica. Well, it turns out that it was definitely not an act. One of the producers of the show for all three seasons reflected on the moment. In an interview, there was times when we were like, does she really know what this means? This is from the producer. I truly believe the whole chicken and fish situation was accurate. She really did not know.
Shout out to Fuse for the where are they now 5 years.
Right. I remember there was a scene where there was a dead mouse by their pool, and it had been dead for a while. Nick said, it's rigor mortis. And Jessica said, rigor what?
Rigor what?
I truly believe she didn't know what that meant.
She came off as, and I know she's not this way because she's built $1 billion company and she's
the skincare stuff or whatever. Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but from a business standpoint,
D-Mate's probably using some of that skin cream.
But she came off as dumb as a bag of rocks, man.
Oh yeah,
that's the way she came off.
Oh yeah,
and it wasn't
was that part good. Of the plan. You think
it wasn't good for people like you know. You know how they say the perception is, and it could be wrong or right. People say, right. Well, redhead. And people label everybody by the color of their hair.
Oh, yeah.
And she made
the dumb blonde thing.
Yeah, she fit the stereotype.
Exactly.
Yeah, no
she
doubt.
Made it real, like, yeah, here we go.
Yep.
And people were trying to figure out, was it really just a skit? Was she playing it up, or was she really that dumb?
She goes, so they're sitting on the couch eating dinner, and it looks like she's eating something out of a bowl. Nick Lachey's eating something, and she goes, is this chicken what I have, or is this fish? I mean, I know it's tuna, but it says chicken by the sea? Question mark.
Let me ask, is Justin Timberlake the only
There's audio
one,
of this. We can pull this.
Is Justin Timberlake the only sane one out of this whole generation of Jessica Simpsons, Britney Spearses? And
no, he probably had his thing.
Christina Aguilera's
yeah.
a little crazy, but she's extremely talented and had staying power and
I mean,
been
they
very
all
successful.
Were talented, but they all just had their little moments and time.
But Justin's the one whose life never seemed to spiral out of control and hit a lull. Like, he would just keep accelerating. He would leave the boy band behind. He can golf. He can play basketball. He becomes a Super Bowl act.
See, and I think it's hard to deal.
He's a modern-day Frank Sinatra.
And Derek, you can speak to this, but you did it without social media, so it's a little different. Like, I think it's hard. Like Britney Spears, I don't really blame Britney Spears.
She's like, been through a lot.
Like, Britney Spears, the level of, like, mania that was around her at such a young age. Like, I just think if you put kids into those situations, you're probably going to get some sort of bizarre behavior because it's just an impossibly difficult lifestyle to handle at like 18 or 19 or 20 years old.
JT, you don't have a life.
JT kind of figured, yeah, you got like 16 handlers that are taking you. I mean, when you get to Britney Spears level of like, to me, that's too much fame. I would never want to be at that level of fame. I'd want to be like, I don't know what level would be the right level of fame. I'd want to be where like I could walk around Nashville, people would leave me alone, but then if I wanted to go, you know, like, make myself look like an obvious. Does that make sense? Like, I'd want to, like, if I wanted to be noticed, I could do that. And if I wanted to be unnoticed, I could do that. I'd want to be just famous enough that I can make money off of it, but not famous enough to be bothered too much in my day-to-day life. Does that make sense? Like, I would not ever want to be Britney Spears level of fame. It just takes away your life, I feel like. Am I?
No.
No, you're not at all. I saw a video of Aaron Carter. You guys remember him?
Yeah.
He got a face tattoo now.
Backstreet Boys?
Yeah. No, his brother was in Backstreet Boys.
They had the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Carter, something. Yeah. The Carter.
And then he's got a face tattoo.
You two really know your late 90s and early 2000s.
I used to watch those shows every once in a while, man. Because they were train wrecks, man.
We're going to get the email from management later today. Derek has taken a job with the E! Channel. We wish him the best in his future endeavors. D-Mason, Mario Lopez.
Ching, ching.
Aaron Carter's first line of his Wikipedia page. This is just like fun Googling here this morning in the first segment. Aaron Carter is an American rapper, singer, songwriter, actor, dancer, and record producer.
I'm appalled.
First line of his Wikipedia page, so it must be true. It's on the
internet. Know him, too.
You do?
Paul?
Yeah, he comes up at 3 o'clock on the SEC Network. His name's Paul.
Oh, not to be mistaken with Sean Paul.
Exactly.
You know what? I am. Sean Spicer. This morning, Sean Spicer. Oh,
Dancer.
Wow.
Have you guys seen him on Dance With the
Stars? Oh, man, he's an idiot.
Spicer? Yeah. I didn't even...
Spicer? Tyser? Tyson? I'm tired.
Those guys on Dance With the Stars?
I'm freaking tired, man.
Who?
Of what?
Me? I'm just tired.
Like physically tired?
Like physically tired.
Well, go back to sleep.
Why didn't you sleep last night?
I want to. No, I did sleep last night. It was so bad last night because my son, he was doing his homework, and I was sitting on the couch, and I'm going to tell you, I had all this stuff set up. I had my book set up because I wanted to read. I had my glasses right there. I had a computer over here.
Sound like a really exciting night.
And I'm sitting on the couch.
Well, that's what happens when the Bengals and Steelers run.
Hold on, I'm sitting on the couch.
I didn't watch any of it.
And the television, I didn't watch any of it. I didn't even turn it on. And the television is on, but I got it on pause. And you know, when you leave it on pause for a long time, the slideshow of the television comes on. Yeah.
Xfinity.
And
I'm just sitting
there, and I'm just watching books right there. And my son comes up to me. He said, "Dad, you just need to go to sleep."
Shut it down.
It was 8 something. It was around 8:30, 8:40. He was like, "Dad, early. You just need to go to sleep."
So
I'm just sitting there in a daze, like. Yeah.
And normally that person in my household is my wife. She'll be sitting on the couch and we'll be watching something, and I'll look over about halfway through and I'll go, "Hey, do we need to turn this off? Hey, you over there? You still with us? Are you going? You out?" So last night we got to the last episode of Narcos, but we got to it at like 9:30. And it's such a good hook that we had to start the last episode of the most recent season. So we started Narcos, and I'm like, "Oh crap, I'm in this for the long haul." Like, I knew I was going to be awake until like 10:30 watching the end of it, because it's the very end of this latest season. And she looks over at me about two-thirds of the way through. It's about 10:15. She looks over and she goes, "Do we need to stop this?" And I was like, "No, I'm good." I opened my eyes a little wider, and I made it through the end of the series. Great season finale for Narcos. I know it's like 8 months late, but whatever.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Speaking of season finales, the Bengals had their season finale last night as they got beat 27-3 by the Steelers. Andy Dalton now winless this year, and Mason Rudolph leads the Steelers to victory number one. And I am proud to say I did not once put that game on.
I did not even attempt to turn it on, whatever channel it was. I didn't even go close to it. It was like my remote was allergic to the channel. I didn't want to go near that.
Has there been a Bengals, because they have played some seriously important football games in the last 15 years, 10 years, let's say, Bengals and Steelers. Has there been a more meaningless Bengals-Steelers game in the last 10 years? Like, I can't think of one. 0-3 versus 0-3. Now the Bengals are 0-4, no Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown. Like, I can't remember a Bengals, no A.J. Green. Like, I can't remember a Bengals-Steelers game that had less intrigue and less, like, these used to be, like, the battle for the division for years.
Zero star power.
Or a playoff game. Like, one of the most dramatic playoff games we've had in the last 10 years was Steelers-Bengals with the Vontaze Burfict thing. So, for there to be zero sex appeal at all to that game is just, I don't know.
I mean, I would say fire Marvin Lewis, but they finally did, and they still stink.
Who's the next guy? Who's the guy now? Fire him, too.
Zach Taylor.
Yeah, fire Zach Taylor, too. Fire the whole Bengals. Fire the Bengals, period.
Yeah, get him out of there.
Yeah.
All right. We will come back. Floyd Reese is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, but you guys mentioned Boss Hogg. obviously from the Dukes of Hazzard when we were talking about Johnny Knoxville and Jessica Simpson. Well, the Boss Hog here in Nashville is back at the facility. The suspension is over. How will Taylor Lewan impact the Tennessee Titans moving forward? We delve into that next here on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live this morning from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise Munson with you.
The first and 15.
Say what?
First and 15.
It is? Will we have a false start?
No, I said first and 15. You ain't heard that song? It was once said by the man who couldn't.
If you haven't heard that
please
song,
please, can
Nick,
I have another?
You have not heard that song?
No.
Boy, I don't give him.
Dude, he definitely loses his honorary brother card now. That's 2 weeks in a row.
That's fine. I'll get it back eventually.
Even I know that one.
The first and 15th.
Oh, the first and 15th.
Yeah. Big lot of money, nothing less than a 20.
Yeah, I wish I had a 20 in my pocket. I don't have cash. Wife doesn't give it to me.
Oh, man. I don't have cash either. No? I don't give it to myself.
I feel very disrespected, Nick. Come on, man.
Yeah. I feel disrespected.
To be a radio man, boy, you must qualify. Don't get high off your own supply. A radio.
There you go.
I'm glad you cleaned that up.
You brought it right back in. I like
exactly.
it.
Well, no, it's a metaphor, Derek. Yeah, it can apply to anything.
Exactly. We're going to get high on Floyd Reese. He's coming up at 6:30 this morning. But Taylor Lewan back at the facility. So let's kind of look at this because we've discussed many times on the show what the impact will be. You know, he's not going to be the cure-all, the fixer of everything. But there's got to be a ripple down, like a trickle-down effect from left to right. I got to think that he makes Saffold's job a little bit easier, which makes Ben Jones's job a little bit easier. And if they can play the way they did 2 days ago with Taylor Lewan back and then some, maybe we have a respectable five?
Yeah, and you know, like you said, Nate Davis, you package all this together. Could it develop over the course of the year? Certainly it's possible. It can't not be better. I mean, Taylor Lewan's arguably the best tackle in the league, arguably the best player on the team, blah, 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 blah. I am far more fascinated with how fans have reacted to this. The way the fans, because he's got the podcast, because he's the larger-than-life personality, because he's sort of the face of the franchise outwardly to the public, especially the younger demographic loves Taylor Lewan and sort of what he brings to the table off the field. I just am curious. I'm fascinated. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think every Titans fan has a right to sort of react how they want. But it almost feels like Titans fans are completely apologetic for Taylor Lewan's getting popped for 4 games. It's almost like fans don't care. And that maybe I don't know how you guys have experienced this suspension and the return, but it's mostly just been fans just saying, "Oh, thank God, welcome back, we love you." And I don't see a lot of like, man, if we miss the playoffs by 1 game and our offensive line cost us 2 games when you were suspended, there doesn't seem to be any fans holding him accountable for his decision.
Is that because they won Sunday, they're 2-2, and they survived the first month of the season? Like, if they were 1-3 right now and Marcus was maybe out with an injury because he was taking 17 sacks the first 3 weeks, would we view it differently?
I think so. But it was luckily they were able to pick up a victory in Atlanta, and that kind of stopped a lot of the rumblings or simmered down the potential talks of a 1-3 start because your left tackle wasn't responsible enough, you know, to know what he put in his body. And that's what it is. I mean, you got to be responsible, whether you say you knew or you didn't know. You're responsible for what you put in your body. And when you get popped for something like that, that shows that you were not fully aware of what was going on, or what you were putting in your body. So that is sort of irresponsible. But I think the win Saturday, kind of tapered some of the talks because I believe had they dropped down to 1-3 on a start, I think there would have been a lot of, talks, not just nationally, but more importantly, locally.
Have you guys seen? Oh, I mean, again, if I'm missing it, I'll put my hand up and say, hey, my bad, I didn't see it. I just have not seen any real critiques of him at all from fans. Wild Marcus,
you know what you get from fans? You get the free Lewan shirts that everybody thinks that he was done wrong. and they're cracking Natty Light beers on Twitter and going nuts, saying this is for the boys. Like,
yeah, seltzer, baby.
He's so beloved.
Aloha Beach seltzer.
Yeah, like he's so beloved by so many of the fans from the. He's just one of the dudes that they almost didn't care.
Well, so I guess, again, is that just a select minority, small group of people that happens to be very active on social media? Am I, again, once again, taking real life and, like, narrowing it into Twitter, and that's my fault, and I need to not do that? Because I don't even remember talking to any Titans fans who have said, man, I'm super upset that Taylor Lewan wasn't out there for the first four games. Thank God he's back. Everybody agrees, thank God he's back, because it's going to make the offensive line better. But I just can't remember seeing much critique or criticism at all during these four games Taylor from fans. And again, Twitter's not real life, and maybe that's my fault.
It's the position. I think fans, you think fans know the game. And we have a select few that really watch the game intently. And they know truly what's going on. But we have the majority of the people, they watch it, they're fans, and they just want you to score points and stop people from scoring. They're not looking at, you know, what's really going on, and especially not in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
So when your left tackle, you know, gets suspended, it's a big story when it happens. But majority of the people, he's not a receiver, he's not a quarterback, he's not a running back, he's not a defensive end. So eventually it fades into the wind, and it's not a big story because you're not the marquee player. You're not the one that's in the spotlight all the time. You don't have the ball in your hand, or you're not sacking a guy with the ball. So it's like,
well, it's the fantasification
exactly,
of football.
Absolutely.
We're trained to look at other things.
So if you don't mean anything to my fantasy football team or whatnot, then I don't care. You back? Oh, good. Great. You're back. It makes our team better, but we're not looking at you every week. Like, man, you're not here, man. You're not, because it means nothing to you. Like you said, Nick, from a fantasy standpoint, it means nothing to you, so you're not paying attention. For the average person, they probably don't know who Taylor Lewan is. Huh? Was he missing?
Mm-hmm.
Because he means, in the big scheme, he means nothing to you based upon how you look at football. And a lot of people look at it from a fantasy standpoint. You're not giving me any points. So, you know, yeah, you're suspended, but I'm not going to make a big deal of it.
Well, we also, too, if you think about it, did we mention Taylor Lewan after the Falcons game or the Browns game?
Mm-mm.
But nope. We mentioned him after the Jaguars game and the Colts game, right?
And again, your quarterback was sacked more in the first three games than any quarterback since 2002 in the NFL. So arguably the worst at protecting the quarterback in 20 years in the NFL. Taylor Lewan is responsible for that.
Yeah.
He is responsible for that, period. And if I don't think it cost you the Jags game, necessarily, because let's be honest, it's not like Dennis Kelly was getting blown up every single play on that side of the line. It was the right side of the line that had the problems. But that being said, like the Colts game, you could point to, as if Taylor Lewan is in the Colts game, maybe they win that game. That was close enough a game where the offensive line, Marcus took too many, like a couple of bad sacks. Some of them are on him. But you could say Taylor Lewan, if you were out there against the Colts, they might have won the game.
Remember, Indy didn't have their best defensive player.
And it's total speculation. Like, I get it. I know we're playing the speculation game here, but if I'm a fan of this team, I do not understand giving him a free pass. I'm not suggesting you should like not be a fan of his, not welcome him back with open arms, not be rooting for him to do well. There has to be an honest moment where you say, man, if we go 9-7 again and we miss the playoffs by a game, and you could, you know, the offensive line was the problem in the Colts and the Jacksonville game, especially the Jacksonville game, that you don't look at Taylor Lewan and say, man, like, dude, you made a decision that put us in a tougher spot, and it doesn't seem like, again, maybe I'm just looking at Twitter and that's too sort of narrowly focused here. It just does not feel like any fans are holding him accountable at all for his decision to get suspended, do something that got himself suspended, and maybe cost his team a game. Like, if this team could have been 10-6 with Taylor Lewan, is that if they finish 9-7, is it crazy to say they could have been 10-6 with Taylor Lewan?
I mean, no, it's not.
No,
crazy.
Not at all.
All right, well.
Real quickly, with Taylor Lewan, does he automatically go back to left tackle, start, and play every single snap?
100%. Yeah.
It's going to take him a minute to get back going.
Because Melvin Gordon was reactivated, and I know it's a different position, but even though Gordon was activated on Sunday, he didn't get one carry for the Chargers.
Nah, running back is totally different from left tackle. They will insert Taylor back into the lineup.
Do we think he's in game shape, though?
No.
You don't think so?
No, he's not in game shape.
Not from lack of trying, but from the natural
Yeah, he's
need
not
to
in game.
Get in game shape,
not in
right?
Game shape.
But you're not suggesting he took.
No,
four
I'm not
weeks
saying he took
drank
weeks.
All week.
Yeah,
right?
No. But you're
just on
the only way you get in game shape is that you play games,
right?
And that you're out there with the pads on and you know, doing the simulating the movement of your position. So when I say he's not in game shape, it's the truth. He's not in game shape. And it's going to take him a game or two to get back going. But I think what people are going to really start watching is, and I don't know, you know, I don't know how long, you know, whatever he's been taking. I don't know how long he's been using these supplements, you know, and did it help him in any way? I don't know, but people are going to start to look. If his play declines, if he gets hurt, people are going to point at that. People are going to say he got popped for using some enhancement. He's not on it no more. Is he the same player?
Whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
That's what you're going to hear.
I think you're right.
And, I mean, it's fair.
So you better show up.
Yeah,
you better show up and show out, right?
Exactly. So you better – and I'm not suggesting he won't, you know, show up and play, but – people are going to be looking at that. So
yeah.
It's going to take them a game or two really to get back in game shape and going. So don't expect them to come in here and just start, you know, doing
it,
Taylor
just,
Lewan
it
stuff.
Just reminds me a little bit of the Preds losing to the Stars. The fans sort of just, okay, and moved on. And the fans have
dropped. Well, it's because we had the NFL draft.
And that's true. The fans, and I think maybe it's because they're 2-2, like you guys said. And the fans have just sort of said, all right, let's move on. And I think that's a little odd. But
coming up next, our buddy Floyd Reese will stop by the show, as he does each and every Tuesday at 6:30. Former Titans GM, co-host of Jared and the GM. He joins us after this on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on a Tuesday edition of the show. Nick Braden, D-Mace Marquise, as we welcome in our resident general manager, Floyd Reese. Floyd, happy Tuesday. How are you, sir?
And to you. You guys doing good?
We're doing well. So I just threw out this question to D-Mace last segment. You know, Melvin Gordon ended his holdout. He came back to the Chargers. He was activated this week, although he didn't take a snap and didn't play in the game. Obviously, you got to get back into game shape. I'm curious to know from you, how does that apply to Taylor Lewan? Should we just expect him, because he's a left tackle, just to regain form right away? Or is there going to be a few weeks? Is he basically going to need a preseason to get into shape?
You know, I don't think it'll take him that long. In my experience, guys that have been in the league a little bit, if they do anything to take care of their bodies, they have a base conditioning level that is better than you could ever imagine. Given that, I mean, he hasn't played in, what is it, a month or 5 weeks or whatever it is. And I'm sure it's going to take him, from a timing standpoint and all that, it's going to take him a little bit of time. And it'll be interesting to see how they use him, because it's, you know, to throw him in there and think he's going to go an entire game, I think I'd be a little bit surprised at that.
Floyd, I don't know, A, what did you see from Nate Davis from a production standpoint? But B, what do you make of the decision by Vrabel to sort of, because clearly Nate Davis after the game said that the idea was to alternate and kind of rotate in and out. He played 62% of the snaps with Jamil Douglas. He's clearly probably an upgrade. What do you make of the strategy to sort of rotate those guys? And did you see enough from Nate Davis to be optimistic about him the rest of the way?
You know, to be honest, I didn't really notice him or not notice him. You know, it wasn't, which for an offensive lineman is probably a good thing. You know, because the only time you ever notice them is when they get a holding penalty or they do something dumb. But I'll say this now, whether he was a factor or not, I thought the pass protection, the pocket, you know, that they created for the quarterback and how the quarterback used it was as good as we've seen in a long time. So if he was part of that, then I'm all for it. I think Mike came out yesterday and said something along the lines of, you know, he was aggressive. He went out and hit guys. Maybe not always the right guy, but he hit guys, you know, which is maybe kind of a little bit of a lesson. I mean, really, this is a guy's, you know, preseason. And unfortunately for him, he didn't get to go through much of camp, didn't get to go through the preseason, and now we're into the regular season where things are really, really serious. So he's got a learning curve. There's no doubt about it.
The old saying is, whatever you do, do it full speed. If you mess up, do it full speed. Eventually, you hit somebody. You might not be the right person, but you hit somebody. I guess that's what Nate Davis was doing this past weekend. Do you like the way that Arthur Smith chose to attack the Atlanta defense? Because, you know, he tried to run the ball early. It wasn't working, but he stuck with it. And then off of that, he used a lot of play action, which in turn, you know, helped Marcus, because they were playing a lot of off-man coverage, helped Marcus see the field a little bit better and helped them receivers get open. And the timing was great this past game. So moving forward, do you think that's the formula if they want to win games? Now, it's going to be tougher this week with Buffalo, but you think that's the formula moving forward for them to win games?
You know, I would hope. I mean, we kind of got some of the things that we've been looking for. You know, he got as good a protection, and I'm speaking primarily of the first half, but in the first half, his protection was really good. And Marcus was able to do some things that we've been wanting him to do a long time. You know, his back foot hits, nothing's maybe there, so shuffle up into the pocket, get the ball off in some kind of timing fashion, get it to a receiver where he can get it and run with it and do things like that. So I thought from a protection standpoint, from Marcus using the pocket correctly, I thought they, you know, it was as good as they've been in a long time. I'm in my world, I was looking at that first half, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This looks like a real offense. I mean, this looks like an NFL team throwing the ball, catching the ball, running with the ball. I was really pleased with the first half.
Floyd Reese is joining us here on Morning Drive, and you talk about the offense. Well, this week, the defensive challenge from Buffalo will be legit, because they just made Tom Brady look very, very ordinary. When you look at this Buffalo team, what is it about them that makes them such a compelling team from the standpoint of they win games that they shouldn't, they play ugly, and I know they're defensively built with Sean McDermott, but I'm looking at some of their offensive guys, Floyd, John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, Frank Gore is 100 years old. Can this team can actually come in here and score and do enough to beat the Titans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think considering what they did the last couple of years, you know, especially like last year, I expect a game along those lines. They really are not built a lot differently than we are. You know, their quarterback is still a question mark, whoever it might be. The running game with Frank Gore, I agree with you. I mean, he, you know, what he's doing at his age is remarkable, and they are playing really, really good defense. They, you know, their secondary is playing very, very well. The two safeties are, you know, kind of cogs back there. You know, they're getting a pass rush. I mean, they are, like I said, very similar to what we are, and I would imagine this game will kind of go along those fashions.
If you know, how does that affect, like, you know, both defenses are great, both defenses are playing extremely well. Like, if you're the coach, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, like, I know we just talked about Arthur Smith. How do you approach games differently when you know stylistically it's going to be very different than maybe a game you played the week before?
Yeah, I think it's key, and I thought we did a good job of this last week, but key that you have, and Vrabel uses the term complementary football. You have to go into the game understanding how you're going to win and understanding that it may not be pretty, you know, for your group, but if you do these things, we're going to have a chance to win. And I think you have to approach the game from that standpoint, because if you go out there, you know, against this defense and say, okay, we're going to throw 50 passes and we're going to be in good shape, I mean, you know, you're going to only end up having problems, hurting your defense, and the next thing you know, the score is 17-0. So I think it's going to be really, really important that we do much of what we did last week, which was, you know, I thought we were really smart in the things that we did. I thought they helped each other. You know, the first half, the offense kind of took it away and did a good job and got some points. And in the second half, the offense kind of calmed down. You know, let's not get carried away here, and let's see how the defense does. And the defense played very, very well. And, you know, you end up coming out of it with a nice W.
Floyd, good stuff as always. We'll be listening later today at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. guys.
You got it. Floyd Reese, former Titans GM, of course, co-host of Jared and the GM weekdays from 2 to 6. All right, so Titans-Bills could very well be an ugly game. Could be a 13-12 duplicate of last year, but what style of play will be effective? You'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 A Game.
You know, I think that at sometimes, you know, you want to be as conscious as you can of the situation. We want to still stay aggressive and, you know, give them credit. They made some good plays, and we got off to a great start, you know, and then it just we weren't able to complete the first drive after the half. You know, we got an amazing performance, an all-pro performance from Brett. Our defense played very well. So just through the flow of the game, I think that you kind of understand if we can take care of the football and continue to force them to throw the football, we can pressure the quarterback, and hopefully we can get some turnovers in those opportunities.
That was Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise. So what style of play will be effective against this Bills team? First of all, from a Titans perspective, because that's what we care about. But I was also thinking about this yesterday. You go back to the game on Sunday, and New England had a very difficult time. And we know New England can play any style of ball they want. And yet they mustered all of 16 points.
Yeah, and Derek, you sort of hit on this yesterday as one of your big takeaways from the second half is that the offense changed. And that was that question Mike Vrabel was asked was about tempo in the second half. And he clearly alludes to sort of situation football, right? Situational football, and how they approached that second half was clearly different than the way they approached the first half. It worked out well. It worked out fine. What do you when you see how different they approach the first and second half? Do you expect them to come out like they did in the second half and play that style of game against a team they know they're not going to be able to just drop back and throw play action passes against? I mean, do you almost expect the second half game plan from the beginning?
Well, they can't be. I don't think you can go in and be scared to run your offense. You can't go in and say, well, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this. And then you limit, you know, you go in limiting your offense. You go in making your team one-dimensional. You make your team, oh, we got to do it all on defense. I think you have to be calculated in what you do. You got to take your shots when those shots are there to be taken, and you got to make the plays. Defense like that, you only get a few shots at making plays. I remember some years ago, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we were playing here, Denver. And that's when Denver had that voltage defense. I think it was the year they went to the playoffs or the year after.
They beat them the year after they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody was screaming about how good that defense was. And it was. And we barely moved them off. But what we did was we had a few big plays. I remember one play basically like it was yesterday. It was a deep pass on third down to I'm forgetting his name, the kid that from Miami that we got.
Rashard Matthews,
yeah. We had a deep pass to Rashard Matthews on the left side, on the visitor side. It was like third and something, but it was a big play in that game that kept the chains moving. And we didn't make many big plays that game, but that was one of them. Teams like that, teams like Buffalo, teams like New England, teams like the Titans, when you're playing against their defense, you're only going to get so many big plays. And when they're there to make, you have to make them because it loosens up the defense just a little bit. Now they got to honor, you know, that play action pass. But if you're not making those plays when they're there to be made, the defense is not going to honor anything you do. And it makes it's like a boa constrictor. It just gets tighter and tighter and tighter unless you do something to loosen it up.
Here's the thing, though. Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, is in concussion protocol. Let's just operate under the assumption for a moment that he doesn't play this week. And you get Matt Barkley as the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. If you're the Tennessee Titans offensively, do you come out trying to get some tempo going early, get a quick lead? And I know it's difficult because Buffalo's defense is very, very good. But it almost feels like in this game, assuming Matt Barkley's the quarterback and some of the weapons the Bills have that I mentioned to Floyd, if you can get a 14-0 lead, I don't believe Matt Barkley can rally you from behind against this Titans defense, which is giving up 15 points a game.
Yeah, and you don't want to build your, like, this team is incredibly good at playing with a lead. We saw it yesterday. We saw it against the Falcons. We saw it against the Browns. When they can turn Cam Wake loose and Harold Landry loose and go after the quarterback, when they can lean on Derrick Henry and be okay with 2.5, 3 yards because they know they're going to get the 8 and 10 yard run in a couple of plays, right? Like every fourth play, you're going to get that 8 or 10 or 12 yard carry from Derrick Henry. When you know you can play that way very well, you can play with a lead. And so that we know this team is good for playing with a lead. Now, is that what you is that a way to build your football team to win games over the long haul? I don't know. I don't know if that's the way you want to do it. I think you want to build a team that can just win games. But they are very good with a lead. So it does feel like if the Titans can just get to, like you said, 14 points, maybe it's 17-7, you do feel comfortable with this defense against that this particular offense, Matt Barkley and company, like that. I don't think you can just run Derrick Henry for 3 yards a carry 25 times in this game and expect to win. But defensively, if you just kept Matt Ryan off the scoreboard for all but one, like at one drive, because they scored on their second drive, I think they scored the Falcons, which means they basically held the Falcons in 10 or 12 possessions to 3 points over the course of the majority of that football game. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen them do it to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. There's no reason to think they can't do it to Buffalo. Play with a lead, and that's when they can. That's when their players are at their best, is when they can turn loose the defensive front, Dean Pease can be aggressive, and then they can lean on Derrick Henry. Getting a 14-point lead on Buffalo is easier said than done.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's the problem. Tom Brady's numbers, and again, you can already hear the haters on Marcus on Monday morning if he has a bad game. Tom Brady was 18 of 39 against this team last week. That's 21 incompletions. 150 yards, no touchdowns. Yeah.
Their offense never got in rhythm.
It is a very good Buffalo defense, and so we'll see what happens. You're going to have to be smart to slow. I think sort of like with Cleveland, you have to be smart with how you slow down the blitz and the pressure. Take your 3 yards, throw the football away, learn how to live to play another down. All the cliches, right? Like that's how they're going to. I mean, to me, that's how I would intentionally be slowing this game down because I think my defense can win on third down in the second half and in the third and fourth quarter.
And on the flip side, let's just assume Josh Allen does play. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about Josh Allen beating me with his arm. I worry about Josh Allen making plays with his legs.
Yeah. But he's...
Because he's not an overly accurate passer, but boy, he can get off and take off and make some plays.
He extends plays.
He really does.
He's a guy that if you let him, he will do something. He'll make a few plays throwing the football. And, you know, he won't have these gaudy numbers. But then you look back and say, man, if we could have just stopped these two or three plays, then we would have been all right. The Titans are going to have to figure out. Here's the dilemma they're in. Because they're not the Atlanta Falcons. They operate differently. But you haven't shown that you can stop a tight end, and their tight end is damn good. So do you put all of your resources at stopping the tight end? And
you mean Dawson Knox?
You're like the Major League Baseball. You're like stealing my stuff over there.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox,
wasn't he a character in Varsity Blues?
Yeah, I think so. But
two spectacular plays in each of the last two games for Buffalo. He's a really good player.
They're going to have to stop him. But then the flip side of that is that if you put all that energy towards stopping him, I mean, say what you want about Frank Gore, but the kid, that man runs physical. And he did it to the Titans last year.
Yeah.
You look at him and you say, well, we could stop him. He ends up the game with like 80 yards. Well, and it's effective runs.
And they did it on the game-winning drive.
Exactly.
They ran the football against the Titans on the last drive after Marcus had thrown the ball to Nick Williams, who dropped the game-winning touchdown. They then kicked the field goals to take the lead. And the Bills come down the field and hand the ball off on like a four-minute drive, not like a two-minute offense. They run the football down the field to win the game. And that Listen, do we need to add Frank Gore to the list of, like, if there's a nuclear holocaust?
He is
alive. And what's alive? Cockroaches, Keith, and Keith Richards, right? Do we need to add
Frank Gore to that list? Whatever Frank Gore is doing to stay in the NFL that long at that position.
But is there any doubt, though, like, the day he retires, like, he's going to just fall apart physically and be in a wheelchair the rest of his life?
I don't know.
Like, he's going to be Earl Campbell, right?
You know what?
He's different, man.
Yeah, his knees are going to be bad, obviously, because he's had two knee surgeries, probably more than that. But whatever he's doing, man, good Lord.
Yeah, Frank Gore is on pace to pass Barry Sanders.
He's going to pass Barry Sanders. He's got, like, what, 250 yards to go or something like that?
He could finish it this season. And if he gets another 1,000 yards later on, he can kind of itch in that number one spot.
He could finish it. He could pass Barry Sanders this month.
Yeah.
He got to, what, 15,000 last week?
Yeah, he had 106 against the Patriots this week.
And this is a guy that
248 yards.
He missed the season, didn't he? Something like that because of a knee injury. Messed up his knee twice.
Well, he got hurt in Miami too, didn't he?
Yeah, And it's just remarkable what he's been able to do.
Walter Payton, 16,700 yards, just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Emmett's got more than him, but
the Titans are gonna. This will be a battle. War of attrition for both offenses. I like the Titans offense better. I don't think I can. I'm not going to look at the New England game and say, well, they shut down Tom, so they're automatically going to shut down the Titans. I don't look at it from that standpoint because there's two different offenses. I think Titans are bigger at the skill position than New England. And then New England, the disadvantage for New England is that that's a division game. And division games are always going to be tough. And I think the Titans run more physical than New England. Their whole being is, built on running the football. So I look at, yes, they shut down Tom Brady, but I look at it totally different. I'm not saying that the Titans are going to rack up 400 yards or anything like that. But just because they shut down Tom, that's not making me say, oh, they're going to shut down the Titans. No, because they're two different offenses. They're different skilled players. They're built different.
Right.
And maybe, just maybe, they're built better to play Buffalo than New England is.
Okay, coming up next as we kick off hour number two, a lot of people are trying to make the case for six teams in college football for being number one. We will do the same, although there's two of those six that I can't make the case for number one. We're back after this on Morning Drive.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.